We're driven by the search for better. But when it comes to hiring, the best way to search for a candidate isn't to search at all. Don't search, match with Indeed. Indeed is your matching and hiring platform with over 350 million global monthly visitors, according to Indeed data, and a matching engine that helps you find quality candidates fast. Ditch the busy work. Use Indeed for scheduling, screening, and messaging so you can connect with candidates faster. Leveraging over 140 million qualifications and preferences every day, Indeed's matching engine is constantly learning from your preferences. So the more you use Indeed, the better it gets. Join more than 3.5 million businesses worldwide that use Indeed to hire great talent fast. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/Blue Wire. Just go to Indeed.com/Blue Wire right now and support our show by saying that you heard about Indeed on this podcast. That's Indeed.com/Blue Wire. Terms and conditions apply. Need to hire? You need Indeed.
Whether you're a world-class athlete or a podcaster like me, we all understand the importance of mental and physical well-being and proper recovery for top-notch performance. That's why I'm excited that Unified Healing is sponsoring this podcast. Unified Healing is a new and super innovative global network of wellness centers powered by Energy Enhancement System, or EE System. If you haven't heard of the EE System, you'll want to listen up. This technology promotes wellness, deep relaxation, purification, and rejuvenation. In hundreds of locations across the globe, access to a center is easy and affordable. Interested in experiencing the EE System technology for yourself? Go to unifiedhealing.com/bluewire to learn more and find a center near you. That's unifiedhealing.com/bluewire. No material or testimonials on the Unified Healing website are intended to be viewed as medical advice or a substitute for professional medical advice, diagnosis, or treatment. Always seek the advice of your physician or other qualified healthcare provider with any questions you may have regarding a medical condition or treatment and before undertaking a new healthcare regimen, including EE System.
Welcome to the Roto Grinders Morning Grind Podcast. I'm your host, CBTPFL. It's Tuesday. It's September 7th. It's 2021, and we have 12 baseball games to talk about here on today's slate. I know everyone's getting ready for football season. It's right around the corner. We're still talking baseball. We will have a football podcast on Thursday, breaking down the main slate on Sunday. I'm joined today by one of the hottest DFS players out there, Andre Alford, Drizzy 26. What's happening, my bud?
What's going on? Just hanging in there, trying to enjoy my last week of, I guess, vacation and pretty much away from playing DFS for a bit and prep for the football season before it gets going Sunday. How about yourself?
Nothing, man. Just hoping the Red Sox keep winning, you know? I know how to get under Dre's skin. I just have to talk about the Red Sox, and
they're a good team though, so I can't lie. So I mean, they've been probably my most used fantasy team this year. So hey, if they make the playoffs, they do. It is what it is. My Yankees, they have some work to do in the offseason.
Yeah, I mean, both teams should make the playoffs. I mean, Seattle and Oakland's there. Don't get me wrong, but I mean, the AL East is where it's at. Like, no joke, the AL East is. I'd be shocked if there's not an AL East team in the World Series this season. So we'll see. I mean, still got a few more weeks of regular season baseball, and I mean, we just keep on chucking along here. We get started today with Kansas City at Baltimore. Cower and Wells pitching in this one. 10.5 total. Baltimore's a 120 favorite. Any interest here in Cower?
At 5.3K. In Baltimore, maybe not really, honestly, not in this slate. From what I'm looking at, there's a lot of good options that we have. I don't think he's at 5.3K. Obviously, you could use him in tournaments, but I probably won't get him, honestly. So, no.
Yeah, I mean, the guy with a walk rate higher than a strikeout rate. This game really disappointed on Monday. I'm going back to the well. I like this game a lot as far as bats go. And, I mean, Wells on the other side, no real interest for me. It's a lefty going up against Kansas City. He has a 16% K rate, 250 ISO, 452 WOBA, and a 9% K rate against righties this season. So, for me, I'm not playing Wells or Cowher in this one.
Yeah, I agree with you totally. I would get more, like you said, with the bats for this game, especially probably lean more heavy towards the Baltimore side.
Well, let's start Kansas City. They're on the road here. I mean, yesterday I said Salvador Perez, one of the top hitters on the entire slate. He had opportunities and just didn't cash in on it. I like him again. I hate paying up a catcher, but I think this is a spot where, I mean, this dude has 100 RBIs on the season. 40 plus home runs, and this is it doesn't get many much better than this spot right here. So, I mean, Perez, Merrifield, Mondesi. I mean, yeah, Kansas City in a great spot here.
Yeah, I agree with you. I agree with you definitely for sure. If I was playing, I would definitely get a lot. I would definitely probably have a lot of this game as a whole in general, like you said too. I said no, I'll be more probably heavy on the Baltimore side, but still as a whole. Definitely like taking some shots, a lot of shots with Kansas City too. Especially my favorite player probably would be Mondesi from that side. Obviously, we know what Salvador Perez could do when was the left-handed pitcher and he's a righty, so he's going to be able to smash that. But I think Mondesi is also in a good spot as he's been back for about a week now and he's been playing pretty well.
Yeah, I mean, Mondesi was someone that I really liked yesterday, didn't play. I mean, still ended up stealing two bases. So if for some reason you didn't switch him out of your lineup, he didn't kill you. You got 10 points. I mean, this is a spot that I really like Mondesi. I mean, I think he'll be in the lineup here. On the Baltimore side, I mean, you kind of already said it. You know, you like this spot for Baltimore. I mean, Cowher is a guy that, like I said, has a walk rate higher than his strikeout rate. Don't really expect him to pitch too deep into this game. And I mean, just all these bats, especially if Mancini doesn't play, everybody in Baltimore is really cheap here.
Oh yeah, definitely for sure. Yeah. The most expensive guy being was Mountcastle. Oh no, actually Mullins followed by Mountcastle actually. So yeah, I love getting some for sure. Especially at the Hardy order. I think you also got Urias that might be out as well too, from what I'm looking at on the roster. So I love this spot for them as well. My favorite player, my favorite tournament player in this game actually would probably be like a DJ Stewart batting in the 5-hole. Who, if he is as projected right now, I expect for him to probably have one of the better games to him out of this whole lineup.
Yeah, I mean, Mullins is expensive, but this dude's been hitting all season, and this is a good spot. So, I mean, this dude has multi-hits in three straight games. He could keep it rolling here. So, I mean, with the rest of the stack just being so cheap, it's not hard to, you know, play Cedric Mullins here. We move on. We got Toronto and New York. Steven Matz going up against Gerrit Cole in this one. 8.5 total. The Yankees, a 195 favorite here. Any interest in Steven Matz?
I would take a couple shots just in tournaments because the Yankees always have a high strikeout rate in general as a whole with the lineup. So I would take a couple shots on Steven Matz in tournaments tomorrow, but not that much, honestly. It would probably be my, like, when the GPP probably come in, I'll probably have my, like, 5 to 10%.
Honestly. Yeah, I mean, large field tournaments for sure. I think if you're playing single entry or, like, three entry max, I don't know if you have to have Steven Matz in the spot. 8,400, you're not getting a price decrease for facing one of the most powerful offenses in baseball. So I definitely hear what you're saying as far as like large field tournaments. But, I mean, this lineup's pretty stacked. We're going to talk about that in a second. Gerrit Cole on the other side of this game. Gerrit Cole's 11-8 going up against Toronto. So, I mean, obviously, he's probably the best pitcher on the slate. Talent wise, but I mean, you're paying 11-8 for a dude facing a Toronto Blue Jays offense that can hit anybody. He has a 36% K rate on the season. We know how good Gerrit Cole is. What are you doing with Gerrit Cole going up against the Blue Jays at this price?
See, I always get him wrong because I feel like there's times where I feel like I want to be underweight on him, compared to the field, because he's in tough matchups and he still performs really, really well. So I would say I'm gonna be at the field with him for sure. I don't know if I'll be a little bit over though, which is the only thing I would do, because Gerrit Cole, he's probably, if not the best pitcher currently in baseball, that's pitching currently, because I know we got a couple that aren't pitching. But the strikeout rate is unbelievable. Like you said, 36% K rate on the season. And this Toronto lineup, they can hit anybody in there, but they also can strike out too at a high clip rate, at a high rate too. So I like taking both sides of this game, honestly, and just taking some, but more so playing the pitching and playing a lot of Gerrit Cole.
Yeah, I mean, I really like Nola, and I want to kind of compare what type of ownership Aaron Nola is going to get and Gerrit Cole is going to get on this slate. I think they're
Both are
the two
tough
best.
matchups.
Yeah, I
No,
mean,
I'm
I think
say
they're.
no, sorry. I was just saying they're both are in tough matchups too, so.
Yeah, I mean, and they're the two most talented pitchers on the slate. Probably even by a larger margin than we realize. But I mean, I definitely want to see what the ownership looks like for these guys. I mean, could you double barrel them? I mean, the answer is yes, but you're looking at 3,400 a player. That's going to be really tough. So, bats in this game, anything on the Toronto side?
Like I said, in large field tournaments only, I would just play. I would have a little bit of exposure to Toronto, like Vlad Guerrero. This is and more so mini stacks, if anything, as a secondary, as well too. And one also with obviously, like I said, Vlad Guerrero, Corey Dickerson, who obviously has a power too. Bo Bichette and George Springer. We said a lineup in Simeon, like the top half of the lineup, pretty much. But that's it. Tournament strictly, that's about it.
Yeah, and then on the New York side of things, I mean, I definitely think the Yankees are in play here. They're somewhat expensive, but like if we get the Luke Voit, he's 3.8K. Obviously, Stanton and Judge are must plays if you're going to stack the Yankees. What are your thoughts on your boys here?
Yeah, I definitely love getting to them. DJ LeMahieu is going to be probably one of my, if I was playing tomorrow, he'd probably be one of my top hitters in the stacks for sure, along with obviously Judge for the power, and Stan as well. So, I like that. It's going to be difficult to fit him in, so therefore, I don't think the ownership will be that high on them too. And plus, we got a couple other teams that are in better positions too. So, I definitely think you can get to them, and it'll be expensive, but it's worth it in tournaments. Gleyber Torres is another good hitter too. Voit, like you mentioned before, as well. I even like the lefty lefty matchup with Rizzo against Matt. So I wouldn't be afraid to play anyone from this lineup in general.
All right, Tampa going into Boston. We got Rodriguez against Rasmussen. 9.5 total in this game. It's a pick'em game. Any interest here in Rasmussen?
I mean, on this type of slate, I'm not going to probably get too much of him, honestly. No, not honestly.
I mean, decent strikeout stuff out of the bullpen. It really hasn't translated too much, as far as like moving into a starter's role. But I mean, this dude's gonna throw 4 or 5 innings. I don't think he has the ceiling at 7,300 on a 12-game slate to win you a tournament. So I'm gonna pass, especially against a good offense like the Boston Red Sox. And then on the other side, I mean, we just watched Chris Sale like struggle yesterday, against this Tampa team. Eduardo Rodriguez, semi-reverse splits pitcher, going to face a lot of righties here. Any interest in him?
No, but it just in, actually just in tournaments, like I said, large field as well. Actually, any format as long as it's not a single game, single entry, I think you should have some interest in them just because you never know, and it's going to be definitely low on tomorrow because we know the Tampa Bay Rays typically are a patient team, and they do tend to put the ball in play a lot. So I would have a little bit just in deep tournaments, but he's not someone I'm going to look to be like one of my top pitchers in my to get into my lineups.
Yeah, I mean, I think he's somewhat interesting here just because I think he's going to have really low ownership. And for that reason, the ownership alone makes me have some interest in Eduardo Rodriguez because, I mean, this dude, he shows up some days. Some days, I mean, yes. if you're playing Eduardo Rodriguez, don't watch the game because some days it's so hard to watch him pitch. But other days he just shows up and he has big games. And I mean, he just put up 26 fantasy points against this team last time out, 26 at 9K. Sign me up. I'll take that. So I think he's in play for large field tournaments. I mean, if you're not playing at Eduardo Rodriguez, what Tampa bats are we looking at here?
I definitely like to look at a pretty much, honestly, I like kind of like the bottom half of that lineup. More so in tournaments, like Left Lau, Brandon Lau, even Margot and Zunino, if he's going to be in there too. I like that bottom half of the lineup, but I love getting to him in tournaments. Yeah, you can play the top half as well, obviously, with Rosarina, Franco, and Cruz, who are going to be the more popular plays, I feel. But that bottom half really, really, it's cheaper too, for the most part, when you come to having Left Lau, Margot, and the mix a little bit. And obviously you put Brandon Lau and Zunino in there, and you probably could get even one of the two top pitchers on the slate too in your lineup too as well.
Boston bats. I mean, I definitely don't mind taking some shots here on the Red Sox when we're looking at this lineup overall. The top half of the lineup is really strong. Rasmussen, I don't think he's allowed a home run in four straight starts.
No, he hasn't.
I mean, Schwarber, Renfro, JD, Devers, like there's plenty of upside in even like three manning or five manning the stack.
Yeah, and I agree with that. I would probably see him more as a secondary stack tomorrow, just because, like you said, Rasmussen, he seems to, like you said, limit the fly balls and hasn't allowed a homer in four starts. So that's kind of, wow, this is going to happen at some point, and honestly, it would be fitting if it is against the Red Sox for him to do it. But I think I'm going to use him more as a secondary stack. I love what you said, like the top half of the lineup as a secondary stack would be, I think, amazing in tournaments.
All right, we're moving on. We got Washington at Atlanta. Max Fried against Espanyol. 9 total in this game, and the Braves are a 225 favorite. Any interest here in Paulo Espino?
No, not against Atlanta. No. That's just simply no.
I mean, he's throwing a little bit deeper into games right now, getting more stretched out, but I think this is a really tough matchup. I mean, when they first converted him to, you know, kind of being a starter, Atlanta beat him around a little bit. So definitely some concerns there as far as that's concerned. And then on the Atlanta side, Max Fried, 8,600. I mean, this is a guy that is a really good real life pitcher. And at 8,600 on a slate where we're kind of limited for pitching options, Dre, I have a tough time not having interest in him in this spot.
No, and I agree with you. Even though Washington has been really competitive lately and hitting somewhat well lately, I do love Max Fried today. He's one of the better real life pitchers that we have on the slate, and I think he has a chance to still be and potentially be one of the top pitchers on the slate. Because there's still going to be strikeout upside in this lineup for sure. So he's worth definitely taking in some GPPs and maybe potentially in some cash games.
Yeah, I actually think he's cash game playable today for sure. As far as Washington bats go, man, I don't have a ton of interest here in Washington. They don't really have a ton of like right-handed power bats to beat Fried. He's very good against lefties. So like Juan Soto's a guy that I'm definitely not playing at 5,400 in this spot. So, I mean, I'm just out on the Washington bats in this game.
Yeah, I typically would be too. If anything, I would have just a little bit of them in GPPs, like one or two lineups just in general. But for the most part, Fried's been a good pitcher for pretty much all season, been consistent. Hasn't really got blown up. So I don't like really targeting batters against him much. So I probably, like I said, won't have much of them. Washington, if any, tomorrow as well.
All right, let's talk about the Braves. Any interest here in Atlanta?
Oh, of course. Going against Espanol, I love the whole lineup. One of my favorite hitters in the lineup that would target obviously is going to be obviously Freddie Freeman. But we get Jock Peterson in that eighth hole. I like to taking him too. Obviously, lefty righty matchup should be really well for him. Work out well for both of them. And they just been hitting. They just been hitting well, and I think they're still in a race for the division, if I'm correct, right? So I think that they still need to win if they're not in the lead. So every win matters. So I think they're not going to waste no time and be able to get to him, hopefully early and often. And to me, they're one of the teams that I think could be a top team on a slate.
Yeah, I mean, Atlanta is 4-6 over the last 10, and Philly is 8-2. They've made a huge push, and they're only a game and a back, game and a half back on Atlanta right now. And I mean, with the NL West the way that it is, with the Reds playing the way that they're playing, I mean that second wild card spot. Listen, like the Giants and the Dodgers, one of them, whoever doesn't win the NL West is going to get one of those wild card spots. So it really just comes down to like that other spot to see. But I mean, yeah, any team that's fighting for something, Washington's fighting for nothing. They're 2-8 over the last 10 games. They're 57-80. They're 15 and a half games back. They're playing for absolutely nothing. So I definitely, we're at that point of the season, and I talked about this yesterday on the podcast where that it's starting to matter more and more. I mean, and that's one of the reasons that like, I didn't go Woodruff and I went Wheeler on Monday. And it's more of just the Phillies, they need to win every single game right now. And not only did they win, they win by a lot. But I mean, we'll have to kind of see how it plays out. Moving on. We got the Reds and the Cubs in this one. No total in this game night before at Wrigley. We don't typically get totals. The Reds are a 160 favorite. It's Wade Miley against Sampson. I looked at the weather, projected weather for Wrigley is wind blowing out at 12 to 19 miles an hour. So we'll have to see what Kevin Roth has to say. There is some potential rain in this game. So Kevin Roth's going to be busy on a Tuesday here. Any interest in Wade Miley at 8,200?
I mean, yes, I definitely would like to play him a little bit with the Cubs. The Cubs, they're probably like their lineup is one of the worst. Well, should be one of the worst lineups, but they've been playing, been hitting pretty well. But I think he's a good person to take in tournaments with the way pitching is, as far as the drop off when you have from Nola and Gerrit Cole. He's in that mid tier where he might get a little bit lost, but he's someone I think you should definitely take a shot on in tournaments.
Yeah, I mean, if the wind was blowing in, I'd have way more interest. But I mean, the wind at Wrigley is just such a huge thing that with the fact that it's blowing out in this game at such a high rate, unless the wind shifts, I'm really not going to have interest in Miley. Played a ton of Sonny Gray on Monday, and he only threw like 60 something pitches. I don't know if he got hurt or something. I was doing some family stuff, so I didn't watch. But Sampson on the other side, I mean, no, nothing. I mean, this guy's going to throw like 45, 50 pitches at most.
Yeah, exactly. No, he it's a no for me. I won't have any of them at all.
All right. Let's talk bats in this game. Anything standing out to you for Cincinnati?
Yeah, obviously, like the same usual suspects that I would love to take with Cincinnati. Joey Votto probably will be one of my favorite hitters. Mike Moustakas, I like him a lot too as well. Talking Bernhardt, even in that seventh spot, I think he has a chance to pretty much hit the ball well here, especially if you said the winds are blowing out. So he's someone I'd like to take. And Nick Kelly Calastalianos, he is oh actually no, he is not cheap anymore. He was cheap over the weekend, but he's someone I definitely is probably my favorite hitter in his lineup to take tomorrow.
I mean, it's hard not to like the Reds in this spot. Wind blowing out at Wrigley, bullpen type of game for the Cubs. Load up on the Reds here. I mean, anybody that cracks the lineup in the top six, seven spots, they're going to be guys that I really want to play here going up against Sampson. The other side, I mean, the Cubs, not the greatest offense in the world. The one guy, Schwindel, like, he's just hitting. He's just hitting every single day. And, I mean, in a small sample size, he has very good numbers against left-handed pitching. So, I mean, I think you just keep playing this guy. Like, he just keeps hitting.
Yeah, and I agree. I would keep playing him. I would have him as a one-off. I would, to me, if I'm playing tomorrow, Frank Schwindel and Patrick Wisdom will be my two one-offs that I would have in this lineup. And then I would just move on from there. Maybe even get a little bit if you want to do a three-man of Ian Happ or Wilson Contreras too as well, or even David Bode. But mainly two I like a lot here. Excuse me, it's Wisdom and Schwindel.
All right, we're trucking along here. We got Philly going into Milwaukee. 8 total, pick 'em game, Aaron Nola, Eric Lauer. I mean, I'm going to make the same argument for Aaron Nola that I made yesterday for Zach Wheeler. Philly is playing for everything right now. If he's pitching well and the game is close, the leash is huge. I mean, Aaron Nola. Philly's pitchers in general get like a longer leash on average. If he's pitching well, we saw him pitch against San Diego a couple weeks ago and he got 117 pitches. So this dude has a 29.9% K rate on the season. This is not a huge strikeout team, but I mean, Nola is definitely in play for me here at 10-6.
Yeah, he is definitely. And honestly, I think because of the price point, like we were talking about earlier with him compared to Gerrit Cole, he probably will come in and be the top pitcher on the slate use-wise, ownership-wise, just for that that reason and the strikeout ability too. With Milwaukee, their projected lineup being batting, having like a strikeout of only 22%, which is not that high, but I think that he's still pretty much in a better position with that than going against Toronto. So yeah, he's gonna definitely will have a lot of tomorrow for sure.
The other side, Eric Lauer. I mean, he's 8,800, and I can't remember the last time he scored over 20 fantasy points. I'm not playing him here.
Yeah, I agree with you. I agree with you 100%. It's just not a play that I'm gonna get into at all, or have and or entertain at all.
Yeah, I mean, this lineup is kind of hit or miss, especially against left-handed pitching. But, I mean, this guy is just he's a fly ball guy. Gives up a ton of hard contact. Doesn't have a big strikeout rate. So, I think it's a pass for me. Let's talk Philly bats. Anything standing out to you for the Phillies here?
Like you said, they need to win. So, I don't know, Lauer on a season against lefties, it's only had an 18% strikeout rate. So, but he's limiting hard contact only 37%. So, I like still targeting these bats in tournaments for sure. The stack looks good when you go with O'Hara, Bryce Harper, Segura, and Realmuto. So at the top half, and they've all been hitting pretty well. They don't strike, like you said, they don't strike out that much either. So. To me, this team I definitely would like to have in tournaments and probably use as both primary and secondary stacks.
I mean, the guy that stands out to me the most is Andrew McCutchen. He's 3.8K. He hits left-handed pitching. He's hit left-handed pitching throughout his career. So I definitely have a ton of interest in him. Segura, Realmuto, probably more of a secondary stack. But I definitely think they're okay. My biggest concern, and it's always my biggest concern when facing this team, is just facing the back end of the bullpen in a close game. I mean, that's always the biggest concern. On the Milwaukee side, I mean, I really don't have a ton of interest in Milwaukee. I will say Yelich is super cheap at 4.1K. Not many times you're going to get a guy that has his type of ceiling on any given day. He's just not been right this season. He wasn't right last season, but I mean, at this price, I'm willing to take shots on him.
Yeah, I agree. Definitely for sure. I'm not going to have that much interest in Milwaukee tomorrow. Well, in tournaments, if you're playing GPPs, like large field ones, and we know Nola's going to be popular, have some stacks of Milwaukee because they still are a good team and can still hit the ball. So, like, I would try to go play more so the let me see, look real quick. Actually, well, he's giving hard contact around 35%, 37% to both sides of the plate. So, right or left. So, just playing more so, honestly, like a power hitter is like as one also even like a mini sack. So like Rowdy Tellez, who we know can hit a home run, Lorenzen Cain, who hasn't really been hitting well lately this year. I'm at the eighth final lineup when you know he's a better hitter than what he is. Yelich, like you said, is too cheap. And Escobar, who's in that lineup too as well, is a good hitter, and so is Tavares. So those are the main players I would try to take and use as a mini stack, just to have some leverage in large field tournaments like the $18 on FanDuel. I mean on the DK and like the things like the $4 on FanDuel.
All right. Up next, we have LA Dodgers facing the St. Louis Cardinals. It looks like it's going to be like a bullpen type game for the Dodgers here. And then J Happ is pitching for the Cardinals. It's a 9 total. The Dodgers are still a 170 favorite here. Any interest in this Dodgers situation that we're looking at? Mitch White looks like the guy that's going to throw, I mean, maybe 50, 60, 70 pitches here.
No, honestly, I would just have to look into the numbers on Mitch White tomorrow, more so on him just to see how he's going to do. But if he's only pitched that many pitches tomorrow, then I'm not going to have hardly any interest in him, if at all any. So it's something that's going to play by ear and go also my research in the morning and see.
Yeah, I'm probably not going to play this situation. And then on the other side, I'm definitely not playing J-Hap against this Dodgers offense.
Yeah, to me, rule of thumb is like, unless you're an elite pitcher, I do not play you against the Dodgers.
All right. The Dodgers bats, I mean, Turner, Muncy, Betts, Turner, Seager, Taylor. Anybody that has a Dodgers uniform on. Happ has been terrible against right-handed hitters this season. A lot of fly balls, a lot of hard contact. This game's in St. Louis. You're getting 9 innings from your bats in this game. I love the Dodgers here. The only thing that sinks is they're not like on a 10 o'clock game. So, I mean, people are actually playing the Dodgers today.
Yeah, to me, the Dodgers are one of the top teams to go with tonight. They're a little bit pricey somewhat, and what some of the hitters are, but they're worth it. Get them in, load them up, play as much as you can of them against Hap. I love it for them today.
I mean, the Cardinals, I don't love the Cardinals in general on most slates. And, I mean, not knowing what we're going to get bullpen-wise, I think O'Neill is okay at 3,600. Molina at 3,300 if you need a cheaper catcher. But I don't think this is a slate that I would be paying up for Arenado or Goldschmidt.
Yeah, I agree with you. Cardinals are not one of my favorite teams to load up in a lineup. Chris, they're like a Jekyll and Hyde team. They either hit well some nights or don't hit well at all, even in good spots when they should do well against teams. So today they should realistically against the bullpen have a little decent, if not good game, but. I'm not going to target them. If I do, it'll be some couple one-offs, more so like Goldschmidt, Arenado, O'Neill. That's really about it. What I would target. Even Tommy Edman too as well. Sorry, as a couple one-offs, I would take.
All right, Seattle at Houston. Gilbert going up against Odorizzi. 9 total. The Astros a 175 favorite. Any interest here in Gilbert?
I mean, I might have a little bit, even though I know it's Houston. We know that they tend to definitely have a little bit of what's the word I'm looking for? A little bit of a not so strikeout heavy lineup, but I think in tournaments with Gilbert pitching, having about like a 25% K rate, granted, he's been horrible as far as with contact to lefties more so this season, as far as hard contact wise. I think that they still can strike out and get someone that's not even at 8K with all the other pitching options. I think he's someone that's worth taking a risk on in tournaments only.
Yeah, I mean, for me, at this price, if he was cheaper, he wasn't 8K, I think I would actually take some shots. But 8K against this offense, he does have a good strikeout rate. He doesn't walk people, which is fantastic. I mean, Houston just doesn't strike out. They're probably going to have two or three guys in this lineup with strikeout rates over 25%. So they just don't strike out a ton. I get it. I mean, if you're trying to win a large field tournament and you want a guy that's going to be less than 5% and can win you a tournament, maybe Logan Gilbert's your guy. He's had a couple really strong starts this season. We know the ceiling is there. We know he's not going to walk people. Odorizzi on the other side. I mean, the Seattle team is just feisty. They walk. They don't. I mean, the bottom of the order strikes out. But, I mean, Odorizzi is just not good anymore. Big time fly ball rate, big time hard contact rate. I'm probably going to pass on Odorizzi in this spot.
Yeah, I agree with you 100% with that. This would, like I said, the top of that Seattle lineup is what I would love to get to play more so than Odorizzi. I don't think I'll have any interest in Odorizzi at all.
Let's talk bats here as far as Seattle goes. I mean, Kyle Seager's always in play, Haniger is always in play. If you're playing two and want to add a third, maybe Toro, maybe Crawford, maybe France, Marmolejos, one of these guys just on the cheaper end.
Yes, I agree. With all those guys, cheaper end is going to be someone you want to definitely try to target more. So I think with the one-off. But I also like Abraham Toro here a lot. Obviously, it's a little bit of a revenge spot, but I think he could, as a one-off, he could definitely send one or two flying off Odorizzi tomorrow.
Houston, any interest in the Houston bats here?
Yeah, of course. They're good to me. Like, for some reason, I know Will's mentioned this before. Houston does tend to get lost a lot lately on slate. So, if there's gonna be a situation where they are too, even though we know Logan Gilbert is a pretty decent pitcher, and I'll take them in tournaments and probably try to be overweight to the field on them. Just any one of these hitters in a lineup, they can pretty much put the ball in play. So someone I would definitely love to stack up against him for sure, and have top bat that I would like in this game would be like Jordan, batting in the fourth spot would be someone I like. Michael Brantley too at 4.1K, it's a good price for him, and I think he's has the upside too, as well as Kyle Tucker batting seventh too. I love getting to him on those type of plays a lot.
Yeah, I mean, Houston's always a team that I have interest in stacking. For some reason, like you said, they always kind of go overlooked. And, I mean, there's a ton of upside in this lineup just overall. I mean, when you're looking up and down this lineup, you got power with Alvarez. You got power with Gurriel. I mean, you got power with Tucker, like you mentioned. Altuve gives you power, stolen base upside. And I mean, they walk. So like your guys, you're on base for home runs. I mean, Houston's always a team that I like to play. Up next, we head to Coors. We got San Francisco Giants, Colorado Rockies, Logan Webb, Chichi Gonzalez. This total of this game is 11.5. The Giants are a 195 favorite. This game opened at 160. If you were able to get that, congrats to you. Some places it's already 225. Any interest here in Logan Webb?
I mean, I want to take shots on him, even though I know it's Coors Field and you know Colorado tends to play well at home. He only gets some hard contact mainly to lefties, but he has striking out both sides of the plate at a pretty good amount. Walk rate's not that it's okay. 8% is still kind of high though. For him, but I think he can still get to these bats a little bit, so I'll have some tournaments even at that 9.5K price on DK. But I think he's worth a couple shots.
I mean, I definitely think he's in play. I'm gonna say, I'm pretty sure it was Tuki Toussaint last week that I talked about this. I'm gonna say the same thing here with Logan Webb. Logan Webb has like a sinking fastball. And it's not going to be as effective in Coors as it is anywhere else in Major League Baseball. I mean, so that is my biggest concern. And I mean, he gave up 6 earned runs in his only start in Coors this season, in 3 2/3. And he's absolutely pitched great against this team in 2 starts when he's faced them in San Francisco. So it's risk reward. He's been pitching fantastic here recently, and the Giants are just, I mean, he's thrown over at least 6 innings in I think like 8 straight starts. So, I mean, the upside's there. The ownership will be low because people hate playing pitchers in Coors. So yeah, I mean, I'm with you. I think in large field tournaments, Logan Webb's in play. I am hesitant. I don't like sinking fastballs in Coors. They're just not as efficient. Chichi Gonzalez, yeah, I'm not playing this guy. I mean, it's as simple as that. A ton of interest in the Giants bats, but no interest in Chichi Gonzalez.
Yeah, just give me all the Giants bats. No matter who's in lineup, even if Yaz is not there or Price not back yet, but give me all the Giants bats from 1 through 8 or 1 through 9, even a pitcher. I don't want no parts of Chichi whatsoever.
Yeah, I mean, Bryant was removed on Monday's game with a little bit, I think it was a wrist injury. Yeah. If he's not in the lineup, like the Giants are absolutely free in Coors against a bad pitcher. Chichi Gonzalez has a 13% K rate on the season. The Giants are by far my favorite stack in the slate. It's just, I mean, just overlooking ownership. I mean, that's the only thing you're going to have to do. You're going to have to look for a really low in secondary stack or take some shots on like a low owned SP2. Maybe you look at Logan Webb with the Giants bats. I mean, that might be a combo you look at, but I mean, Dre, how can we not play the Giants here?
No, there's no reason to not. Like, to me, if just play them. Just load up as much of them as you possibly can against Chichi Gonzalez, who's probably the worst pitcher if they go on the slate that we have. So, and he's going to give him a lot of home runs. I expect the Giants to win this game easily and handily. And my favorite – my home run call, I'm going to put a home run call for this game in my pick, but I expect pretty much like at least 2 to 3 of these players easily to hit home runs, and someone to probably have a multiple home run game. Easy.
Rockies bats, any interest here in the Rockies?
In tournaments, yes, I'll take some shots at them, like you said, with Logan Webb, even though he's pitched well against them. He's pitched well against them outside of Coors, and in Coors, he had a bad game against them that one time. Just the same way, you got to treat it that way, and the Rockies do play better at home for some reason instead of on the road. So I would definitely have some shots on them. They're going to be expensive too, for the most part, with a lot of their guys being at around 4K or 5K. So think about this: I don't know how many people are going to be able to get them in their lineups, along with one or two of the top pitchers. So to me, just get them in there, or if you can, as a contrarian stack, so they probably won't be that high on for sure.
Yeah, I mean, I do think they're going to be somewhat overlooked on this slate. It's 12-game slates. They're facing a good pitcher, and, I mean, the Rockies' offense is nothing to write home about, so I do think that we're going to see potentially low ownership in Coors for the Rockies against a guy that throws a sinking fastball. So, definitely have some interest here in the Rockies. More tournaments. I think you're playing the Giants in cash games. Texas at Arizona. It sounds like this is going to be Howard opening. Lyles coming in. We don't know really how far Howard will go. Spencer Howard coming back off of the IL. So, yeah, we'll have to see, because he's been throwing like 40 to 50 pitches, which could be like 2 or 3 innings, and then Jordan Lyles is a guy that has been throwing like 100 pitches. So we really have no idea what to expect here in this situation. And then Arizona's pitching Zach Gallen. This game's at an 8.5 total. The Diamondbacks are a 160 favorites. Do you have any interest in this Texas situation?
No, not one bit at all.
Yeah, I mean, I have a ton of interest in Zach Gallen. Talented young pitcher. hasn't fully figured it all out yet, but I mean, he's facing an offense that he can beat and has a ton of upside. I think he'll be popular here. Maybe he's not. What are your thoughts here on Zach Gallen?
Yeah, I love him tomorrow. I think I'm going to try to, if I was playing, I would have try to be a little bit over the weight of the field on him against this Texas lineup for sure. That's going against they are a little bit pesky at times, but they do also do strike out a pretty good amount too. If not, I think they have the worst strikeout percentage of the team in the league, if I'm correct. So I definitely like against Gallen for sure.
Yeah, I mean, he's probably one of my favorite point per dollar pitchers on the slate. We don't have a ton of them. And I mean, I think this is just a really good spot. There's a ton of strikeouts in this lineup on a daily basis. They have 6 to 7 guys with strikeout rates over 23% against right-handed pitching. So I like this spot for Zach Gallen a lot. I really don't have any interest in the Texas bats. I mean, they're cheap. If you are looking for dumpster diving type stack, maybe you take shots, but for me, I'm going to pass.
Sorry. Yeah, I agree. I'm not going to take any Texas bats for sure until tomorrow. It's a big enough slate where you don't need to take chances on these type of plays. So that's a team I don't want to mess with.
As far as Arizona goes, I mean, it's somewhat interesting spots. Kettle Marte and maybe two other pieces is like a low-owned secondary stack, I think, is how you would kind of approach Arizona here.
Exactly. That was exactly what I was going to say. I took the words right out of my mouth. We're on the same pace with a lot of things today. I just think the secondary stack for them is more so in play, and I like getting to Arizona have a lot and having a lot of them as that part too.
Oh, buddy, I'm getting 100K today. Me and Dre are on the same page. That's all I needed. Chicago White Sox at Oakland. We got Lambert against Kaplan in this one. 8.5 total. Pick 'em game. Any interest here in Jimmy Lambert?
No, not against Oakland, who they're a good team. Always put the ball in play pretty well. Have a little strikeout rate, though. Majority of the hitters in their lineup. So he's someone I definitely do not want to take shots on.
Yeah, I mean, this guy getting called up here from AAA. We really have no idea what to expect pitch count wise for him in this one. So, I mean, he is a starter in AAA this season, but he has a 5 ERA in AAA this season as well. So I think this is a spot that Oakland can beat him. James Kaplan, talented young pitcher that hasn't put it all together, but I mean, he's facing an offense that just puts the ball in play consistently. I mean, this is one of the reasons that I like Zach Gallen so much. I really don't have a ton of interest here in Kaplan.
Yeah, same here. I don't either. Unless you play like large field tournaments, because sometimes the Chicago can strike out a lot. But other than that, I'm not going to have that much interest in him at all. He had what I think like one bad game recently, and there was something I think that was with him before that I saw. I believe that over the last 30 days, I think his strikeout rate has been has decreased a little bit. So I have to dig into that and see if that was what it was. Again, when I looked at it the last time, I think it was against Detroit. And it was a good spot for Detroit as far as hitting-wise. So the same, and if that trend is still there and continuing, then I love Chicago in tournaments and love them as a sneaky stack because I don't think anyone will be on them and targeting a lot of other games.
Yeah, I mean, this game's so interesting for offense just in general. Kaplan hasn't been pitching great, and then you get a AAA pitcher that really hasn't pitched even well in AAA. So I think, and like it's a 940 game. The game's in Oakland. The ballpark's not ideal. I think this is an interesting game as far as like the White Sox go. You got Abreu. Jimenez is 4,400. Robert is 4,200. Maybe I lean more of a three-man stack for both of these teams because of the ballpark. But, I mean, Dre, I have a ton of interest in Oakland, too. I mean, this is a very hittable pitcher.
Yeah, I agree with you. So both sides of them, like I said, three-man secondary stacks, I think, is the way to go for sure. And if you even want to take a couple guys with the like one guy with power or two guys with power, and one guy that puts the ball in play all the time and at least gets on base at a high percentage, I think that's the way to go. And somewhere you get definitely a great way to attack both sides of the game and both pitchers in tournaments tomorrow.
We finish it out. The Angels and the Padres. Nottington against Blake Snell, 7.5 total. The Padres are a 3.35 favorite in this game. No respect for Packy Nottington. I'm not playing Packy Nottington. He just doesn't pitch deep enough. He's a lefty going up against the Padres. This is an easy fade spot for me.
Yeah, I completely agree with you 100%. Just don't even think about it. Just cross them off as soon as you open up your optimizers or builders tomorrow.
Blake Snell is clicking. It's been a while since Blake Snell has been clicking. He's 9,200. He's been pitching phenomenal, over 30 fantasy points in three of his last five starts. Even with Ohtani in this lineup, there is so much strikeout upside against this team with left-handed pitching. Ohtani's at 32%. Walsh is at 31%. If Marsh is in the lineup, he's at like 47%. Stassi's at 32%. Joe Adell's at 22%. Mayfield's at 27%. I mean, it's hard not to like Blake Snell a lot in this spot. This isn't the scary put the ball in play Angels lineup that we've been used to for years.
Yeah, I agree with you. And now, question, do you think Blake Snell ownership is going to be higher than Garrett Cole's just because of the price point?
I think it will be higher because of the price.
Because I like I'm coming around to Snell after I saw him pitch a couple his last few outings. He's been pitching really well, striking out play everyone hitters really well. So he's someone I definitely want to be on board with. I'm just trying to play the ownership game to find out which one of those top three is pretty much going to be the lowest of them, and. If it's Garrett Cole, I think you have a point where you can probably, if you can get Snell and Cole in the same lineup, that'd be phenomenal. Two probably of the best strikeout pitchers on the slate, with especially with the upsides that they both bring to the table. But Snell is someone I definitely want to get to tomorrow. Have a lot of them, probably be over the weight to field, maybe even double the field on him, and just hopefully. He pays off well, like he has been the last few starts for of the season.
Yeah, I mean, it's hard not to like him. Like I said, it's really not. And like, if he's 10-2, we're having more of a conversation. I mean, gosh, I just didn't realize how good the matchup was when we were talking about like Nola and Cole. Snell's mm-hmm. He's in a fantastic spot here. And Logan Webb's going to be low owned. There's no doubt about it. Logan Webb is going to be really low owned on this slate. Bats in this game, anything on the Angels side?
No. Only thing I would do is obviously is take if Ohtani's in the lineup, him as a one off. That's about it. But no one else I'm targeting.
At what point are teams going to realize like Ohtani has 43 home runs and he has zero protection? Just pitch around the dude. I know I'm not a major league baseball coach, but I look at statistics every single day and I'm just sitting here going, Mayfield is batting behind Ohtani. Why are you giving this guy anything remotely close to hit? Yeah, I mean, that's all I got.
No, you're right though. I seen the last few games too. I think one team did it against some but I think there was also, though, it was an overtime game, I believe. But that was it. Other than that, everyone else is just they pitch to him extra innings. They just probably try to get him on base, and that's it. But every team should just do the same thing, like you're saying. Just put him on base and take a chance with the other guy behind him.
The Padres, I mean, I like the Padres a lot here. Tatis Machado, obviously, two top-end plays. Then you get Tommy Pham. Who's pretty cheap. Will Myers, who's pretty cheap. If Eric Hosmer cracks the lineup, he's 3,100. This is definitely a five-man stack that I'm looking at on this slate.
Yeah, definitely, for sure. Their team, I think they're going to also be probably the lowest owner of the top teams that we have on the slate because they're going to be playing the latest two. And a lot of people tend to not pick the pick West Coast games from everything I've looked at over the time. So this is a stack I definitely like to get in for sure. Now, if I was telling people to, well, I'm telling people if you're playing tomorrow, my advice to you is at least if you're multi-entering, at least have a couple San Diego stacks to go late because this game can still pop off where they can easily put up 10 to 10 runs in the game.
Let's play the morning grind game and then we'll get out of here. Under 8K to get six or more strikeouts today. Who's your cheap guy you're looking at?
Let's see. No, I know he's on the edge. He says actually right at he says six strikeouts.
Yep.
All right, I'm gonna go with I'm gonna take a chance, even though I like Houston tomorrow, I'm gonna go with Logan Gilbert.
All right, I'm gonna take Zach Gallen over 8K to score under 15. Who's your bust today?
Over 8K to score 15.
Under
Oh,
15.
under 15, sorry.
The bust.
I'm gonna say, see, I like, oh, I'm gonna say Eduardo Rodriguez.
All right. You call yourself a Yankees fan. I'm gonna take Steven Matz as the bust today up against the Yankees. Over 4K to hit a home run that's not in Coors. Give me a home run that's not in Coors today.
I'm gonna say Mondesi is my guy.
I hate going up towards the top, but I think your opportunity cost is really high if you're not playing Fernando Tatis Jr. at shortstop today. I'm going to take him to hit two home runs, not just one. Under 4K to get two hits, not in Coors. Give me a cheap bat that's going to get on base a couple times today.
I like another game that we talked about earlier. On the slate that I really like, Cincinnati. I like Tyler Naquin. I think he can get definitely two hits and get on base.
McCutcheon has been crushing left-handed pitching since he was born, so I'm going to go Andrew McCutcheon. Give me a stack to score six or more runs that's not in Coors today.
I'm gonna say. Well, I just said I'm gonna say Cincinnati. That's gonna be my one of the sneaky teams that they're gonna slay. I don't know how high ownership's gonna play for them. I think Cincinnati is the team to go with for me.
All right, I'm going back to the well for the second straight day and saying the Kansas City Royals, they did not do it on Monday. I like this spot a lot for them. If we're going top end stacks, obviously I like the Padres a lot in this spot. But I really, really like the Kansas City Royals today. Dre, any final thoughts before we get out of here?
It's going to be a wild GPP slate. A lot of unpredictable things are going to probably happen. Don't forget to stack also Chicago and Oakland. Mini stack that game and play some San Diego bats for sure. Hopefully someone wins 100K off of the information we gave tonight. If not you, Stevie.
Probably won't be me, let's be honest. I mostly play single entry tournaments now. The days of MME and Stevie are over, and I have no problem saying that. I put in my time for many, many years, and now I get to enjoy dad life. So, Dre, it's always fun having you on, man. Football right around the corner. Make sure you guys are checking out the football content. And there's so much of it coming out. I know. We'll have a Thursday night's NFL expert survey up probably tomorrow. I know that was the message that we got. So make sure you guys are checking out NFL stuff. We still got plenty of MLB stuff as well. That's going to wrap it up here for Tuesday. We'll be back Wednesday talking more baseball. Good luck, everyone. We'll see you guys again tomorrow.